Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Letters are pouring in from around the globe asking us, nay, beseeching us, please, please help better my world. And you're hearing us do it episode after episode, and you're wondering, is there anything these Grolux boys aren't experts in? Is there any area on which they can't help people better their lives? And the answer is no. Because if we're not experts in something, if we hit a subject that we don't know about, we'll just bluster our way through it, pretending that we do know about it. And that, my friends, is the Grolux guarantee. So why don't we just play that theme music and get this sucker started?
We're getting big, our worries are next.
Go ahead and give the neighbors a heads up. Tonight's party's going to get a little bit out of control, and we'd appreciate it if instead of calling the cops, you just came over and asked us to quiet it down first, and I'll tell you what, we're going to do our best. This is the Grolux Saves the World. My name's Adam Caton-Holland.
I'm Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal.
And this is a comedy podcast about bettering your world, and I think that starts neighbor to neighbor, just saying, hey, tone it down a little bit. I've got a big, big day tomorrow.
Yeah,
and we'll hear you out.
Don't be a fucking narc, dude. Just come over, knock on the door, maybe have a brewski and a couple nose beers, and let's talk about what the problem is.
Exactly. Exactly. You know what I mean? Because some of us on this podcast can't go back to prison, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
Jake?
Yeah.
So maybe instead of calling the cops, knock on the door, man to man, and say, hey, I've got a big morning tomorrow.
Do you mind
I go to the horse races on
down.
Saturdays.
Have you ever done that to a neighbor, like genuinely gone over to tell their party to turn it down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
I'm not a fucking nerd.
No? You just lay there and stay awake?
Just endure it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Just take a fucking ass pounding by Senior Decibels. As he comes in
here. Senior Decibels?
Senior Decibels. Listen, I can say stuff like that because we know Ron is going to edit that out.
I don't think he
Ron,
is anymore.
Leave that one
he's
in.
He's kind of gotten to the point where he's just letting you linger out there on the line. And history
you're out there
will
getting
judge
picked
you.
By the crows of Rift City, dude. No need for a scarecrow because Ben's walking through your field.
My bloated carcass out there just feeding the Rift City vultures as they pick off it. They were like, that was a bad riff. But Adam,
yep.
Speaking of birds, crows, yep. Vultures, a little bird told me you yep. saw a big bird last night, and I want to talk about it.
See, and that's what I love about you is you're over there saying ass pounding by Senior Decibels when you also have this skill set as well, this sort of bird-to-bird-to-bird riff that everyone's like, why would he ever hang out in the gutter when he could be up here with Shakespeare?
A little bird told me you saw a big bird. Ben's auditioning for Sesame Street this afternoon. My God.
You know what? Fuck you, Andrew. I come into this ready to rock, ready to riff every time.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And yeah, I'm an idea man. I'm not a guy that is all about execution. I'm an idea guy when it comes to riffs.
So, idea guy has got to be the laziest excuse. It's like, I send out amorphous, useless ideas for other people to hone in.
Well, I apologize. Adam. Did you
yeah,
see
no, it's funny. I was playing very coy up front before we started recording. I was like, I got this one thing I'd like to talk about. But also, I saw a fucking owl last night. And Ben and Andrew were like, don't you dare bury the lead
yeah,
on this
one. Don't
be
coy about yeah. what you saw. Oh, what do you guys want to talk about up front? How was your weekend? What'd you do? You get some chores done? Yeah, I saw an owl. He's just waiting to lay that ace on the table.
Everybody listening, Adam is truly always waiting to talk about bird sightings. He's That's hoping right. that the podcast will always go in that direction.
That's right.
And so, Adam, what happened? Tell
well,
us
here's
about
the thing.
It.
I was in Oregon
Dish
all weekend.
Girl.
I went birding. I thought I'd come here and tell you the story of the golden crowned kinglet that I saw, or the varied thrushes that I saw in the woods.
Can't
of
even
Oregon.
Envision them. Can't Not even the conjure cave. An image that, in my mind.
That's what I was gonna lead with. I come home. Get home around, you know, bedtime. We're going to bed.
What's bedtime? What's bedtime for an ACH?
For me or for the kids?
So you're saying bedtime for the kids. It was
I
right
put the
around.
Kids down at 7, but I go to sleep at 5:30, an hour and a half before the kids are down. So they sort of see dad getting into bed as their visual cue to start sort of winding it down a little yeah. bit. Yeah. And Katie finishes the job.
A little visual melatonin. I gotcha. Yeah. So.
Okay, there's dad. It's almost 6 p.m. Dad's slumping towards the bed.
Wait.
I should probably do the same.
So not your bedtime, but the kiddo's bedtime.
Kiddo's bedtime. Bedtime's around 7-ish, and but last night daylight savings kind of fucked everything up. So anyway, Ellis is asleep. Malcolm's getting there, but he always comes down and has a question or whatever. He's in that sort of like seeing how much he can get away with phase with bedtime. So he was on his third traipsing down the stairs, and Katie was outside taking the recycling out, and she's like, "I heard an owl," and occasionally we'll hear them in the neighborhood. And so I go, I've gotten very good. Of when I hear an owl, I'll go in the backyard and I'll make an owl noise. You guys want to hear it? Here it goes.
Yeah, here it is.
Duh.
We didn't even.
Woo, woo.
Okay, that's cool.
It's pretty good.
Did you all notice how Andrew and I didn't say yes? He
knew. He knew we wanted to hear. What are we? What were you going to say? No.
I mean, it sucks. It's not even that good.
Because a couple of months ago, I did that. Right, I was by myself. I heard an owl. I did that. And then I waited, and an owl just flew across the backyard. Like, it responded to
it's
that.
It's like, yes?
Exactly. So anyway, Katie said she heard an
rats,
owl.
Rats? Where? Like, you don't know what the fuck you're saying? An owl?
And when Katie, when you say that to me, I spring to action. I get out of bed, I run to the backyard, and I make that noise. And so Malcolm was in the thing. I go, Malcolm, come outside. We made that noise, and it did it again. It responded to that noise. So he's in his little pajamas. I'm like, get your shoes on, buddy. And we kept doing that, and we got, and the owl responded every time, and we located it 2 blocks away in the alley right behind my sister's house, and we saw it, and it was responding to us again and again. Called my sister, I was like, "Get out here with your kids," and we all stood in the alley, owly, and we talked with this owl, and it was just a magical moment, guys. Me and the kids, Uncle Adam. Dad, Adam, my sister, talking with an owl.
I will never be criticized
and then
for senior decibels again. When
Why?
He said, because you were hanging in the owly. Yeah. I don't ever.
That's just a rewarding pun, okay?
I don't ever want to be criticized ever again.
The reason mine is fine and yours is unacceptable.
Because Senior Decibels is a trademarked nightclub in Corpus right. Christi, Texas.
Corpus and just because Corpus Christi,
Crispy, Texas. And just because you took your spring break there doesn't mean you can use their intellectual IP like that.
I intellectual love Corpus. IP, Jesus. Corpus Christi, of course, the South Texas donut chain that has been sponsoring us as of late.
Corpus Christi. Well, this Crispy. Is an amazing story, Adam, but I want to back up because when you did your owl call, Ben said it was terrible, and I want to hear Ben's owl call.
For
Before
real.
We move forward with this amazing story, Ben, how would you call an owl in your backyard?
Yep.
Oh, I first of all, I'd probably be like, I'd do something hey man, what you doing up in that tree? Right? Like that kind of, it's kind of late at night. You know, and then they go, and then they do their thing, which mm-hmm. I can't do an impression.
They fly away.
No, they don't fly away because they're not as scared. The night is their time. Everybody knows that about owls. And then
that's, I don't even think Ben's ever seen an owl in his life.
No, I have seen an owl. I saw one time at Griffith Park in Los Angeles, and I would go running very early in the morning, and I was running down right by the Greek Theater, and I heard. Whoosh, like the sound of wings, like large wings, very close. And this large owl flew straight over my head, like from behind over me. And then it picked me up and it
just stopped for a second.
No, I love this.
No. And then it picked me up and it took me to a land of other boys who feel as if they don't have a family and where we were in charge, where it was our time. And we fought a man who
you fought a man.
Yeah. We fought a man together as a team.
It's like you're describing a NaNoWriMo novel that's not even finished.
We fought a man as a team together, and we learned that we could raise each other.
Oh my God, Ben.
Thank you.
That was very good.
Yeah. The owl brought us there.
So I think the point of this is that everyone has a pretty special owl story if you're just willing to ask.
And suffer through one of them.
Yeah, ask the, you know, if you're struggling for conversation topics amongst friends, ask them, hey, you ever seen an owl? And see what happens. See where it goes.
I looked up at that owl and I said, Mr. Owl, where are we going? I have to go home. No, Ron, I won't wrap this up.
Wait, yeah, we're going to wrap this up. Because two of us have shared what I find to be very beautiful owl stories. Both of us have shared really beautiful owl stories.
We're not going to put on your charade for the press. Right. We're gonna do this as we've always done it, Ron. Right.
Now, Andrew, Ben shared a very beautiful owl story. I shared a very beautiful owl story. Do you have any owl stories? Do you recall the last time you saw an owl?
I do remember. I remember it. It was over in Lakewood. I was walking my dogs around the park. It was this windy, dusk day. There was this huge backstop I was walking by, and I thought there was a trash bag caught in the backstop up at the top, but I looked up, and it was the biggest fucking owl I've ever seen in my life. Just watching us. And it was watching my dogs. Like most birds, they see my dogs and they're like, all right, let's get the fuck out of here. And this owl was like, maybe I could like take one of these, these dogs.
These fucking huskies. Yeah.
It was huge. You really appreciate how gigantic an owl could be. And I was like, take me to see Ben. Take me away. And I lifted my arms. It didn't take me.
We wouldn't have you. The island's full.
No, I think but, I got it. The owl dropped Andrew into Ben's scenario, and he was the man that the boys fought.
Yeah, this was the man. This was the man we fought.
They fought me. Fast forwarding back to your story, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Malcolm like super into Harry Potter these days?
We just read the first Harry Potter.
So now in Malcolm's world, he's supposed to be in bed. He slinks back down for a third bullshit question. Mm-hmm. There's an owl outside. Dad's like, come on, let's go see the owl. This is like, bedtime is fucked for you, my friend. You have.
You took him to an alley a couple blocks away. You think that kid's ever going to go to sleep on time again?
You know what kind of magic shit happens at night?
Oh, yeah. Well, after that, we were on a high. So we got on the number 15 bus downtown and we went to a nightclub Sunday night.
There's not even nightclub. People call them nightclubs anymore.
We went to a discotheque together. They had a father-son deal.
A father-son discotheque.
We took him to a father-son discotheque.
On the list.
Yeah. They're going to close those down.
Of least popular nights at any club, it would happen to be father-son night at a dance club.
It's father-son night at Senior Decibels. Get in there.
Get in here to Salt and Pepper's. Push it, dads.
All right. Well, we've done enough with this.
That was insane. Unfortunately, we don't have an owl-related challenge, as fun as it would be, you know, to dissect an owl pellet or something.
Andrew, before we go, just give us your best owl.
Oh, you know, I make no claim to being able to speak to owls, but I could try a hoot. Let's see.
Yeah.
I've hooted at an owl or two before.
Yeah, you got to. If you see an owl,
but I'm not out here talking shit about it. Mm-hmm. It'd be like, whoo, 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 whoo. I go a little higher.
That was good. See, I was coming like a great horned owl. I'm getting like a screech owl, like a smaller, delicate owl. I like that, Andrew.
I was going like Tootsie Pop owl.
Mine, okay. Mine, this is what the one that... This is the one that took us, sounded like this. He said, well, I'm sorry your parents didn't tell people about what happened to you.
Stop
but
it.
I'll oh fly God. You to a safe place.
Oh my God.
You know, and it was something like
you can't merge these real life horrors with this insane owl story. Where are we supposed to drive on this riff, dude?
100%. You cannot bring in real life trauma with like a ridiculous riff and expect us to be like, I know how to ski this mountain. That's not fair. And it's not, it's like a riff off sides.
I can't participate.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's fun.
So I think the point of all of this is that we have a letter from a fan.
We do. It was not delivered by an owl, unfortunately. But if you're listening to this,
why don't you take a knee for the next 5 minutes while Andrew and I do some podcast business? Sound all right?
I can't stop laughing. You guys. All
right, why don't you go ahead and take a knee for five, Ben? Why don't you reevaluate your approach? Come back in five. Andrew and I will be further along.
All right.
So if you're just listening, we love to hear from our listeners. If you have something in your world that we might be able to better, as we've said, we've done over 100 episodes. We're experts now at bettering the world. In many ways, we're like a doctor, basically. This is like...
We're like three kids in a trench coat pretending to be a
professional
doctor.
Professional care. Yeah. But we did. We got another audience suggestion. I believe this is our third one. Ooh, yeah, I think it's our third one. So keep them coming. But I'll go ahead and read it here. So this comes from B.
It better not be about owls.
I'm having a hard time talking about my trauma. And I've made up this owl story to try to shield it, but I feel like no one believes me.
You guys, you know, when we get done with this, you're all going to be like, cool story, B. You really crushed the up top today. Because a lot of people don't know this letter is going to be tough because B is my nickname to the guys. They call me B.
Totally.
They call me B.
Shut the fuck up and let me read the letter.
Yeah, B, let him go.
Shicey B.
This is clearly not Ben, as we will see very shortly, with literally every detail about this letter. All right. I'm 26, male. Okay, already not RB. An American expat living in Europe, currently completing the fourth and last year of a biotechnology PhD.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's not our Ben. The problem is...
they listen to our podcast.
I know. Well, yeah, I don't know.
Doctor, you've come to the right place.
I must have tripped and fell on it. The problem is, I hate it. My supervisor is racist and sexist, and I find myself cutting corners on my research to keep up with deadlines. I understand the sunk cost fallacy and do want to quit, but I'm worried about the professional repercussions and also trying to keep my visa here. I could stay if I marry my girlfriend, but I don't want to put her in that position. I see all three of you as people who have sacrificed to pursue your passions, and I would be incredibly grateful for any guidance you have.
Whoa.
That's from B. Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot going on, B. Okay.
I'm going to tell you, B, I could tell you what you really need. You need a kind-hearted owl that will lift you up when you're down.
B, Adam and I are going to try to help you. And if you have a way to edit Ben out of this, do it.
I'd like to take you to that special place.
We'll take a break. And when we get back, we're going to carve into this. This is a big one. There's a lot going on
in this letter. I like it. Thanks, B, for this letter. We're gonna
a few angles.
We're gonna
so.
Rest assured, we're gonna solve this.
Right, but 100%. But before we do, we're gonna pay some bills real quick. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to support us, check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/GrolicSaves. You got to check it out. Lots of cool content.
Including a new animated piece of Ben's saga, Ben's owl story that we've been working on animating very hard.
Yes. 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 And I'd like to say that these current Patreons fed me when I went on this journey. I was able to bring a lot of the gold coins are transferred from the money from Patreon.
Ron, if you could just cut Ben's mic so we could move along with this episode, that'd be great. Thanks. Thanks to all of our current
Patreons.
And we'll see you shortly.
Hey, Do you love the Grolic Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grolic Saves.
I do want to sign up. And we are back with Act 2. Thanks to the magic of podcasting, roughly 30 seconds have transpired. Cool. We have an audience. We have an audience letter, an audience issue. Just to recap this, this is a 26-year-old American expat living in Europe. They're working on a biotechnology PhD, but they hate it. Their supervisor is racist and sexist. They're cutting corners on their research. They're worried about the professional repercussions. But they're also on a visa there. So they're in this situation where they're kind of examining their life path and dealing with a fucked up supervisor. So let's get in it. I think that those are the two issues. One is like examining a very big life path that you're on in the midst of it. And then the other issue is the more immediate. How do you deal with a sexist and racist supervisor in like a position of power over you? So yeah, both of these are pretty big ones
for sure.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this message. The fact that the person understands that the money they've spent up until this point is not necessarily a reason to stay is a good first step. You know, it means they're willing. It sounds to me like they're willing to be objective, like they're willing to take a drastic measure, even though they've spent a lot of money on this and time spent, which I can't even imagine. You know, I mean, get the PhD program. You've made that jump to another country. So this is definitely a delicate one because this is investing a lot of your life.
They're in their fourth year of it. Yeah.
Yeah. This is I think you've come to the right place, doctor.
That's exactly, yeah. First of all, biotech, we know everything about that. Mm-hmm. Well, all three of us have PhDs.
Yes.
Pretty huge dicks. And
oh, my God.
All of us have visas keeping us in a country.
Again, I don't ever want to be criticized for anything I ever say again. Owly and the pretty huge dicks thing. I don't think that I should ever be criticized by Adam again.
Just listing our qualifications.
I'm kind of coming around
the answer.
On your side, Ben, on this.
Yeah. I think, though, you are correct, B. Listen, here's the thing. I will say the only difference between it is that we have been in the entertainment industry. We achieved a very high mark in that. And I'll tell you, we didn't meet a single asshole. Not a single one. Not a single unsavory
person. This issue with racist and sexist behavior from peers, unfortunately, as comedians, we just don't have any frame of reference for.
I think it's completely relegated and isolated to the biotech industry, and that's it.
Those pigs in the biotech industry. Man, have you been in the green room at a biotech con? Wow. The shit they're saying in there. You can't say that stuff, guys.
No,
okay?
It's Austin, 2024. Texas,
you can't say
there,
that anymore.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, we've dealt with.
Yeah, let's unpack that first. Let's unpack the most immediate thing, because I think this is something that everyone can relate to and encounters at some point in their life, dealing with either a peer or worse, a person in a position of authority over you who is racist and or sexist. Like, we've all had to deal with those kind of situations. And it's like, well, how do you deal with that? How do you navigate that? Because it does suck. I think, yeah, I mean, with someone in a position of power over you, like in our world, in the comedy world, I think I can promise you, we've all worked with bookers in a place and they've been talking to us at the club or driving us to the hotel and they just say something that's just awful. It's like a joke. It's usually probably a joke, but it's like And so you're just sitting there. You just probably landed, you know, you're just there in fucking Cleveland or whatever, going to your hotel. And the person that brought you there and is paying you just drops this like fucked up joke or like little comment on it. And it's like, okay, well, what do you do? This is your boss for the weekend, and you have to deal with this.
Yeah, there's really, it's always a pain because even with clubs and, you know, producers or whatever of things that you do, of shows or a television show, they sort of hold your career in their hand. You know, I mean, whether or not you're going to be paid for that weekend, do I tell this person off? Do I confront them on it? Do I insult them, or do I just stay quiet and feel like I allow it to continue? I think this is one of the most difficult choices we all have to make when dealing with it. And the worst part about this is I don't think there's a right answer on this.
I don't think there is either. I think it's more like in the scenario that Andrew just presented, I know that I would just kind of roll my eyes at the first one or two and be like, okay, whatever, asshole. Like, we're not going to be friends. You're dumb. I'm not going to change your mind. But if it was to keep going all weekend long, I know it would get to a point where I would like kind of snap and say like, don't bring that shit around me. I don't like to joke that way. Like, I would have to say something, and I wouldn't care if that like risked further work, because at that point I don't want to be involved with this person.
Yeah, you don't want to come back
any of
anyway.
It. But I wonder with academia, you know, this is a field where obviously this person is your supervisor, but that they've got someone above them and they've got peers. And so if they're consistently doing racist, sexist things, then in my head, start documenting it, start recording it.
This is where we sound uneducated on this.
Why?
Because academia at this level is not like your normal. These tenured professors that my brother and my stepbrother, not many people know, is a PhD in neuroscience that is at Johns Hopkins. He's
another
researcher.
Fucked up green room, dude.
Yeah.
You do not want to go into the neuroscience green room.
He's a neuroscientist, a very, very close friend of mine for a while, was a PhD in theoretical physics. I don't want to out too much of their experiences, but this is not something that I've not heard from other people with PhD degrees about their advisors and how they made their lives fucking miserable.
So is it really a situation where they can just be terrible because they know
you're
they can get away
about,
with it because they're tenured?
You could be talking about it. His advisor could be somebody that may have been on a list for the Nobel Prize. You know, I mean, this is a person who runs a department, and you're talking about a university that gains a lot of prestige by perhaps having this person run a program. It is incredibly difficult to get into a program. Basically, that advisor has to choose you to be part of that program. It's almost sometimes turns into, what was that movie about the jazz drummer?
Whiplash.
Yeah, it's almost sometimes gets to a whiplash from what I heard, where they ride you so hard out of a principle, out of this belief that they're making you better. And academia,
you get Stockholm syndrome, and you're like, yeah, I want to impress this like sadist who's whipping me.
Extremely toxic. They're not paid a lot of money. This, I would be willing to bet, B is making nothing for research, like basically scraping by. This is a really tough situation. I'm going to say something, my opinion, and I'm going to say something awful.
Yes.
Join
in. Record again.
Oh, sorry.
I would continue on, B. I would do your best to suffer through that, this person's
bullshit. That doesn't sound that awful to me, because you're in year four of a PhD degree. I feel like I agree with you. The shortest way out is through, just punching through, putting your head down. And because you will have that degree, and that degree will never go away. You'll have a PhD for the rest of your life. And even if you then choose to go into a different field, or I have comedian friends, and definitely not telling you to get into comedy, but they have PhDs. One of my closest friends is like a marine biologist, but his full-time thing is, you know, comedy and comedy writing. And so there are other life paths after you get the degree, but at least you have those 3 years that you already endured this dickhead. Get your investment on that with the degree. Because if you bail now, you won't even get the invested time that you already put up with this asshole. So at the very least, you know, you walk out with your PhD in biotechnology and something that you could, in theory, if you want, you know, pursue in the future. But if you go now, I think, you know, racist and sexist people are unfortunately everywhere. So whatever new life path you might divert to, it's not all going to be wine and roses.
What I was bringing up with stand up when I worked at Dish Network. I had sexist and terrible fucking supervisors over me. It feels like those are the people that just, you know, I mean, those are the people that are often in supervisory roles because they're slightly sociopathic and they are capable of stepping on other people to get to where they go. My hope for you is that you use your biotech degree in career to far surpass this person, and then you can lean over the edge of your perch above them and shit all over that human being.
Okay, and hopefully so the racist gene. You know, you could use all your time.
My earlier idea of documenting it, it still holds.
Yeah.
Because as Ben said, maybe that you're not going to get them because they are in a huge position of power to you and no one cares or whatever. So finish it out if that's what you want to do. You've got your PhD now. You've accomplished that. And then if you still feel like you hate this person, be like, oh, by the way, now that I'm out from under their thumb, department, here's all the shit they were doing the whole time. I didn't feel comfortable talking out while I was there because
or media outlet
be vindictive against me or whatever. But now that I'm out, I feel obligated to bring it to your attention because you never know. Like maybe this person is untouchable, like Ben says, or maybe because they're such a high up person, now it's an even bigger issue because now their star professor has got this like racist cloud hanging over them, which isn't a good look for whoever is employing them. So I don't know. I'm just a lawyer's son. It never hurts to sort of just gather fucking evidence of what you
think. I agree
and it protects
with
yourself if something blows up with the supervisor, and you know, having anything to protect yourself in terms of evidence would be good for sure.
I have a question for Ben and Andrew. This sort of scenario where we're both just like, or we were talking about where somebody is racist to you. And you're like, do I have to endure this? Or not like racist to you, but racist in your presence or around you a lot. Have you ever called that out in your life? Have you ever called someone out for being like racist or sexist and said like, quit it?
I called it out in a cab once. I was in a cab, not an Uber. This was like an actual cab. And we had this like cab driver who it was just like the worst. And I don't even remember the specifics of what I said. I'd had a few drinks, but I was definitely just like making fun of him for being racist and awful and sexist. But that was a very specific one because he was like really upset about it. And like always, they're never like, oh yeah, sorry, you're right. It's always like, what the fuck? Like, no, I wasn't being that or doing that. Their reaction is never like accepting, even if you were being cool and nice or whatever.
Producer Ron's in the notes saying that he saw you do it at a narrator's about a trans storyteller.
I don't even remember that.
I've definitely, I mean, I've done it. There's stories in the scene about me doing it to comics that I've gone after who have said things. And then I just roast them and call them out on the fucking show for just being pieces of shit and having a completely myopic point of view. I mean, we all sort of do that as comics. We're always kind of checking each other.
But with comics, we're like peers. Yeah, and it's more often than not, they don't have any kind of like authority over us.
I think
us.
As it related to the show, and you both know we saw some problematic behavior.
You mean on our TV show?
Yeah. And so I definitely called it out, but I will say, I didn't call it out publicly because when you're talking about a degree like this and you're talking about a television show, there are a lot of other things attached to it. And it becomes really hard because you're like, well, all I'm doing is correcting this person. But if I do that, the potential of a lot of people losing their jobs and a lot of X, Y, and Z becomes, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot of other pieces. And I think when I look at this, you have your visa in another country. You have this opportunity to get a degree and all this work you've put into it. You have this
relationship with your girlfriend in this country.
You have it. Exactly. And you also have the opportunity later on of career. Both of those people that I mentioned that I knew in my life that are PhDs, both have great careers now because of it. And yeah, they have their scars from that. And that's terrible. But what would have happened if they had walked away? I don't know. But I would say that they're doing okay now, you know? Yeah. So
I mean, you do never know. I remember.
This is so tough.
I had a moment in my comedy career. I moved to Riverside so my then girlfriend could get her PhD. Speaking of life paths, we moved to Riverside, California. Shittiest place I've ever lived in my whole life. Coast to coast. I've lived all over. Truly a place without redemption. Riverside, California. It's in what's called the Inland Empire.
Population 100,000. A place without redemption. Riverside.
It is a place without, because I could find it. I'll find the nugget of something good in an awful city. And Riverside was bereft of such a thing. It is just a spirit-breaking, terrible place. And I came from doing comedy in Denver. I was headlining the Comedy Works. I felt great with my comedy, you know, like, hell yeah, let's get to Riverside and do some comedy. There was no comedy in Riverside. So I had to go to the adjoining city of San Bernardino, which was equally awful. San Bernardino, if you've never been, if San Bernardino were embodied as a person, you would like steer your car into them screaming and everyone would be okay with it. It's like the most fucked up city. It's awful. It's there in the Inland Empire, and they would do these terrible open mics. And I was doing these open mics, and it was the worst comedy scene I'd ever like been a part of. It was so bad. And I was like, maybe I have time to switch tracks because this isn't it. And all this time I invested in stand up, it's clearly not going to keep going here. So I'll just have to, you know, change tracks and do something else because I can't do this. I can't be doing these San Bernardino mics that are just killing me. And I talked about it with my girlfriend and she was like, yeah, I think maybe you should. I agree with that. Like,
yeah, I kind of agree with that.
And like I quit stand up right then and really, there. But no, just kidding.
No. But I mean, there's really two ways you could go. You could talk to your partner, tell the person how unhappy you are, tell them how crazy you know this is. But if this is also going to be indicative of the industry you're in, you just don't want part of it. You can totally make the decision to step away and try to make. But I would discuss this obviously with your girlfriend beforehand. This is not the same. I just want to say, I've talked about this a lot. I got my black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've trained with a lot of terrible people. There were a lot of people throughout it, but I put in a lot of time and sweat and pain into doing this, hours and hours every week. And I'll tell you, had I complained about anything that I saw prior to getting my black belt, about what I saw in the martial arts community, I would not have been taken as seriously as a black belt, like now going like complaining about it and saying like it's more like you're an authority on it. I think if you start complaining about what you're seeing as a PhD, more people are going to take notice and there's more opportunity for long-term change on a greater scale if you start sounding the whistle of like the injustices and the inadequacies and the toxic behavior that you see within it as you went through it, rather than if you quit, there's that leaves the door open for those assholes to go, well, this was just a person who couldn't hack it, mm-hmm. who couldn't cut it.
Yeah, you know you're what right I mean? About that. That's a good point.
Especially since there is the detail that you've been cutting corners on your research to keep up with deadlines. You can't, you don't want to give them that counter strike of saying like, oh, but look at this, your research is suffering and now you're complaining. Like I would, find a way
I guess if you hate the work, walk away. If you don't like the work, walk away. But if you like the work, you like living in Germany, you like your girlfriend, you would love to do this for a job, but this person is dragging you down, hold your middle finger up, figure it out, finish it as best you can, and then turn around when you get to the end and be like, fuck you guys. That's a terrible way to do this. Fuck this the way
the
we're
Empire do- Records ending. Fuck you. Yeah. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. You're yeah. cool. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. And like sound an alarm about it, because I will tell you, a lot of other PhDs feel this way. There's yeah, no way.
I'm sure that on the counter opinion, though, Brad Pitt was a week away from graduating college and left and moved to LA to act. And look at him now.
But that
so,
is that is but that's not. Point.
I reverse everything I said in this podcast up until to,
you could take the Brad point, Pitt approach.
The Brad Pitt
move to Hollywood tomorrow.
Let me call my owl to see what he would say in this situation.
No, I do want to say this. B is 26 years old and an academic. And I know there is sort of a feeling of like, okay, this is the track you put in this number of years, you get the PhD. But as I'm 43, Ben's 44, Andrew's 57.
Fuck off.
Life is very, you got a lot of time, bud. You're still pretty young, B. You're 26. So even you might feel like an old man who spent so much time doing this PhD. I'm here to tell you 26 is very fucking young.
I look at
and
you.
You can pivot into any manner of thing at this point. And in 10 years from now, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I was a baby. I guarantee yeah. it's all good.
To Adam's point, I almost said this kid when I was describing you. I mean, legitimately, I still view you as a kid. Like, you are still, like, learning.
We have no respect for you, B.
Yeah, you're a child. You shouldn't be, or you shouldn't be listening to
this
our podcast.
This podcast is for adults.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
like, dude, I mean,
with your little pencil thin mustache, typing emails to this grown up podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what Adam said, but that all the same, if you're a year away, that 1 year is on the grand scale is nothing to have that doctorate degree. Like,
Andrew, how many years do you think you got left?
On your doctorate?
No, just on the whole thing.
On the whole timeline?
Give us a depth prediction. Give us your depth prediction.
I feel like I wish I had some bones so I could roll. It's probably going to be in a fatal car accident on a daylight savings day, one of these March 10th. Because, boy, that's a tired morning.
This is a great question. I wish we had a definitive answer. I think, you know, I think you're in a situation.
Well, why don't we vote? Why don't we vote? It's either push through or bail now.
All right,
Brolic's vote.
God, I hate this.
We'll do a push through is a one with your fingers.
Let me add one more
eject
thing.
Eject is a two. We'll hold up our fingers.
I just want to add one more thing. This B, judging by the things that are upsetting you about your advisor, you sound like a good human being. And I think part of the reason why I don't want you to quit is I want more good human beings in that industry. And I want more good human beings in research and academia, especially as it relates to biotechnology and the medical industry. And how do we improve human lives with this? And I would hate to see only the people who agree with that person continue on. Like, we need you to change those things. And I'm not trying to say you should be a martyr and sacrifice your life, but you're 26, you're healthy. It sounds, I hope you're healthy. You've got a girlfriend, you've got this support network. You know, my vote, I'll go first. Number one, please continue on. Don't give up if you can. If it gets so bad that it's destroying your health and your mental health, certainly bow out. But if you can and you have the energy to be able to close it out, please do. And then change the fucking world. Please, please do that. That's my opinion. Andrew.
Yeah, that was a good one, Ben. I can't believe it. You got away with a great one. No earnestness horn. yeah, I agree with Ben. Push through. As far as coping tactics for it, I think documenting it would help. That helps you avoid thinking like, am I gaslighting myself here? Am I making too much out of nothing? Document it, write it down or save. If it's information that they're sending you, you know, save it. I've put a folder on your desktop, like Professor Fucked Up or whatever you got to do, to document it. I think that will help to just have that, not only to protect yourself, but just to kind of ensure like, yeah, I have been enduring a lot of bullshit. And if you can, talk with your fellow students. Like, are they also going through this? Because you could be a resource to each other of like, oh, thank God, we all hate this asshole. Let's, you know, it can help you to suffer through something, the camaraderie of all being under that. You can That's find really it in almost point. Any job. There's a camaraderie among the people, the employees, and just...
And it makes you feel less crazy to sort of air this thing that's bothering you a lot and to have like your peers be like, oh yeah, we fucking hate that shit too. Yeah. Now you're not alone in that. And you're like, okay, and cool. I'm not just,
that can help that go through. And yeah, if you haven't already told your girlfriend, like Ben said, you know, communicate that with them so they know what you're going through and yeah, just kind of, you know, take it one day at a time and
talk to your partner. I mean, I would do that because they may have some, I'm sure you have, but I mean, just about what you're feeling and what you're thinking and that you message three middle-aged dudes randomly for advice about it. That's how desperate you've got. The other thing I want to add.
Basically doctors.
To Andrews as well is take a page out of a comedian's book and just become an asshole. Back like there's something fun about being like, ooh, you're fucking smart, you know what I mean, like, do you really believe that, like just being a petty shithead sometimes and like,
well, you can't do that to your supervisor in this situation because,
well, I wouldn't say
there would be a consequence, but
learning how to do it subtly. And also if you look at every terrible thing they said, like Andrew has like said, as like, thank you. And you put it in your little coin purse of how fucked up that person is. And you're just adding pieces to it. Go ahead. Keep saying it. Cause I'm documenting it. I love that. I think that's great. Adam, what's your opinion?
You know, I kind of have come around to your point, Ben, which is crazy. Cause you started the episode with that owl thing that I didn't think you could recover.
It's the wisdom
from.
Of the island that he's brought back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the boys and I got together and learned.
Exactly. And I thought from that far tangent, there's no coming back to anything useful in this episode. But what you said about getting to your black belt or whatever, and how had you bowed out earlier, people would be like, oh yeah, this yellow belt's bitching about the culture.
There's cool, no yellow dude. Belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but I want to just make sure that Adam, I just want to, it's white,
truly,
blue, purple, truly brown,
insufferable.
And black.
Do truly any, insufferable.
Any of the martial arts as shoe belts in favor of suspenders?
Let's go ahead, Adam.
Suspender,
I don't want to do this with you anymore.
Martial arts.
Adam, continue your thought.
Because that's a cool look.
As
everyone's
a black belt,
done the belt,
I'll allow you to continue.
Everyone's done the belt, but in this art, we do suspenders. No, but I think it's easier to dismiss you if you're bitching and you couldn't cut it. And they're like, yeah, that person couldn't cut it. So they were just bitching because the field was too hard for them. But then when you get to the top of the field, now you're bitching still. You're like, no, I got what it takes. And I still think this is a fucked up way to do things. It adds a lot more clout to your argument. And I agree with also what you guys said. It's like, don't do this at the expense of your mental health, or if it's really driving you crazy, then be like, fuck it, I'm out. This is doing more damage to me than good. You got to have that conversation with yourself. But if you can stick through because you want to, and you want to be proud of what you've earned and already the time you put in, and then you come out the other end still complaining, it means a lot more, I think, to people who are going to be listening to those complaints.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a great one. And what I also think, this is a wonderful one for listeners to chime in on what they think. Please chime in. Let us know on social media, or if you're a Patreon subscriber, tell us on Patreon what you think and what your opinion is, because certainly I don't believe there is a clear cut black or white answer.
It's your life, and no one knows your life better than you. So whatever decision you make, you know, as long as...
Well, I hate to tell you this. That's not true, B. A certain owl knows your life pretty darn well. And he is willing to come and give you some advice if you're willing to take it.
Stop it.
No.
We wish you happiness no matter what choice you end up making, for sure.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate this letter B, because it's very, there's no right answer here. Like so it was really thought provoking, and hopefully we could give you some good advice and better your world. I hope this was useful to you. If you are a listener and you have something that's upsetting your world, write to us. We would love to try to help you work through it.
And also, just real quick, B, let me say this too. Ride that razor thin margin, all right? Take your brain and your body to the limit because you're on free German healthcare.
Oh,
and
fuck that, yes.
Take it to the limit. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Really test yourself mentally.
Yeah, and test the lengths of the German healthcare system. So thanks for the question. If you have a question, like Adam said, please send it in.
That's
what I just said. I'm trying to get to the comedian. Our comedian, you know what's going to fix this, B?
Our comedian was the name of my owl before he died.
Nice.
Thanks. Nice. You're welcome.
I liked it.
You're welcome.
I don't even,
good deep cut owl name pun, but you don't deserve it, Ben. You don't deserve it.
Well, I'm going to cut to the comic here because I think what'll help me is a little bit of comedy. And Andrew, shut your mouth. And from one of the best, some one-liners. Let's do some one-liners. One of our favorite comedians, I believe he has a special that will be coming out very soon. So make sure you all keep your eyes peeled for that.
It's called Trains.
Yes, it's fantastic. And this dude, an amazing joke writer. Please enjoy Zach Reinert. And when we get back, the best third act in the biz. Third actors, you are up. You are on deck. We've got some good news. We've got more show. So please stay with us.
I only go to Taco Bell when I'm drunk. It's the only way I can stand working there anymore. I like doing cocaine at Disney World because the lines are so long. I used to do IT and. One of my last jobs, me and my boss were the only dudes that worked there. And one day we had like five women go on maternity leave. And my boss was like, hey, Zach, I just want you to know the only reason why you got hired is because you can't get pregnant. And I was like, whoa, still going to make you wear a condom. It's not my favorite joke. Say that up front. I don't know. I have no segues. You guys have had jobs before. Every time there's more than one woman pregnant at the same time your job, some asshole always says the same shit. Must be something in the water. It kills me every time. And I'll be like, it's cum. I hope it's not in the water. I drink that shit all day. I got fired as a 911 operator because I couldn't stop saying, holy shit, that sucks to people.
Welcome to the third act, everyone. You have found the best place in all of podcasts, the third act of The Grolic Saves the World. We had a whole great episode. You don't give a fuck. You're just here for the plugs and all the other stuff like that. So thanks for being here. And while we're doing thanks, I do want to say thanks to our letter writer, B, from this episode. It's very cool for us to be able to try to better your world. So we really appreciate you sending us letters like that. And listeners, keep them coming. It is time for a segment that I don't like to say out loud, but that my friend Ben loves to say. So, Ben, what's the name of this segment?
Well, it's called Finally, Some Good Fucking News.
That's
right. You know what I mean? And it's classic. It's a classic sound.
And Ben, a little bird told a big bird to tell a medium bird to tell me that our friend Andrew has some good news here.
God, I wish I had an ejection seat handle on this office chair and I could just leave.
Guys, I'll be in the alley doing heroin.
That's great. I love what you just did.
Doing pure heroin.
No, you don't need to say it again.
Fentanyl
we heard it.
Fentanyl free.
We heard it.
Heron.
Isn't it nice to have your mind out of the gutter for 1 second? There was no sexual
anything. I just want listeners to know that I can go to those places they do, but I choose not to.
You choose not to. How bold of you.
You choose to be down in the gutter.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right. I got some good news. This news is really dialed in to my interests, and I like that we've had some feminist baseball news on here before.
Yes.
That could just be what the segment is. Finally, some good feminist fucking baseball news. But
yeah,
it's very niche in the third act. But I think
it's finally some good news in baseball. We should just do that. Yeah,
I love baseball and I love video games. And the premier baseball video game, MLB The Show, announced that for their version that's coming out this year, it's probably out as you're listening to this, you can, for the first time ever, create a female player in the game, which may not seem like a big deal, but I can promise you that is going to melt so many awful people's brains. And anytime a choice melts terrible dudes' brains, it's a good choice. So it's the first time you can ever play, you could create your own female character and take her up through the bigs. That rules. That's cool. And I hope we see more of that stuff. That is good.
Way to go, baseball. It only took you 140 something years to finally
to put one in a video game.
How awful would it be if it was just like the worst? It's just Lara Croft Tomb Raider. They've got like one character and it's all sexed up and they're like, she can play in the game too.
She makes those like Tomb Raider sexual sounds when she's fielding.
Like a midriff jersey.
Okay, this is horrible.
Right.
She can do a full split. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It seems cool. It seems cool. So yeah, I'm going to check that out. I'm like, all right, you got me hooked. MLB The Show 24, I'll buy it.
Well, that is some good fucking news. Go out and check it out and play with only female characters. That sounds super fun.
I'm doing it. All right, it's time. Plugs, 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 plugs.
Oh, it's sounding
stuffy,
good.
Dude.
Yeah,
I'm
it's stuffy. Sounding good.
It sounded like he's hanging on by a fucking thread. I'll go first.
Plugs. It's all the smoking.
I am doing my one-man show, Happy Place, at the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins on April 4th. This is the last time I have it scheduled to do anywhere around Colorado. You never know. I might add some dates, but for now, this is the last in this little run I've been doing. So if you'd like to see the show and you're up there in Northern Colorado, come on out to the Comedy Fort April 4th and come see Happy Place.
Yeah, I always do this after you talk about that, your one-man show. After you talk about this, I just always reiterate to people, go fucking see it. It is so good. It is so heartfelt. It's beautiful and funny. Go see it, people.
Thanks,
trust
man.
Us.
Appreciate
it. And I'm going to be headlining Looney's Comedy Club down in Colorado Springs, April 5th and 6th. I always love going down there. That room is so fun. Let's fill it up. Come on down to the shows. As always, the tickets are in the show notes. Andrew, what do you got?
You know what I got? I got our Grolic show right around the corner, March 30th at the Bug, the last Saturday of every month. We're bringing in the very funny Mad Viola, and we have local crusher Ali Kareem. That's going to be at the Bug Theater. The tickets, as usual, are now going very quickly. So if you want to see this absolute banger of a show, check out the link in the show notes.
That's right. As always, this show is brought to you as well by our producer, Ron Doyle. We couldn't do it without you. Big thanks to Mike Henderson for your help recording at our live show. Theme music, as always, brought to you by the lovely Charlie Continental. We love you, Charlie. You can follow us everywhere on social media at Grolix Comedy. And don't forget, if you can, support us and get free episodes and other perks on Patreon, patreon.com/Grolix Saves. And of course, I love saying this. I don't get sick of it. Our next episode, it's next week. It's Tuesday. It's not got old.
What I get sick of is you providing misinformation to our listeners. That's what I get sick of, because doing next week, Ben, this is so groundbreaking. We're doing a boy crazy. We're dropping in a free taste into the feed. If you want the whole thing, you got to join us over on Patreon. But we're dropping in that boy crazy we were talking about next Tuesday.
All right. I'm going to get the Astroglide going. I'm going to cover myself with it so that my opinions can't be held onto. Andrew, stop frowning. Stop frowning. I already told you with my doing Heron and the Owlie that I can do cool puns, but I'm not going to.
Now, Ben, I remember an owl picked you up. And what was that? What was it that that owl said to you as you flew off?
He said, play us out, Charlie.
Ooh.